Blog Talk Radio.
And you're listening to the Siren Media Radio Show.
Siren Media Group is a multimedia company.
They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of
aid. I think there's still a lot of hope for us to progress.
We are continuing last week's topic of the complex business, social, and political street mind of Tupac Shakur.
Being shot is either going to lead you to one of the two keys, either bitter or better.
Siren Media Radio, topic today is a family secret. Incest and molestation.
It's devastating.
It's the job of the parents to protect the children.
So our topic today is, should college student athletes receive payments?
That person, the college, is making probably about $4 to $5 million a year off that person.
Siren Media Radio. So our topic today is, my baby is a gangster like me. Hereditary gang membership.
The recession is getting bad now for the whole world, but it's really been bad for poor people in America for a long time.
Because those of us who walk around free of incarceration have figured out a way to institutionalize ourselves.
As generations of poverty who didn't believe that they could rise above their class, their stature, their education level, tried to get in where they can fit in.
There have been many of our people across the country from all walks of life who have taken it upon themselves to try and pool their ideas and to come up with some kind of solution to the problem that confronts all of our people.
What's good, people? Today is Thursday, April 2nd, 2015. You're listening to the Siren Media Radio Show. I'm your host from Michigan, Dwight Rock Walker, General Manager of Siren Media Group. And joining me today is my panel. She's a social worker as well as a I'm not even sure if you're still a social worker, but as well as a social and political pundit from Jersey City, New Jersey, Sean Defense, a.k.a. IQ. What's good, IQ?
Good evening. How are you? And yes, I am still in the field.
Okay, there you go. And he's a writer, rapper, and counselor with Troubled Youth in Atlanta, Georgia, Sean Ennis, a.k.a. Wise. What's happening, Wise?
Making it. Peace to the family. Long live the revolution. You heard?
No doubt. Now, hopefully, we'll get our producer, Josh Johnson, to call in tonight. He mentioned he was interested in the topic, so hopefully we'll call in shortly. Our phone lines are open at 347-215-7095. Once again, that's 347-215-7095. Remember, our blogs are open, but you need to register with us on blogtalkradio.com/Siren Media Radio. And there's still our Facebook page, Siren Media Radio. That's one word, S-I-R-A Media Radio. And Siren Media Group is a multimedia company with a focus on music production, film, videography, photography, graphic design, and entertainment. Our radio show focuses on all of these elements, including social and political awareness. So, first off, as we count down, you know, our last couple of shows, we just crossed into April. So, just so you know, you guys realize that June will be ending the show. And I just been blessed to be on the air with these two people for the last couple of years, and it's been some kind of ride. I felt like, you know, with you guys on the air, we've gotten across to many of people, ideas and concepts and all kinds of things, and it's an honor to be on the radio with you guys.
Wow.
Right.
Many blessings to you. Thank you.
Thank you. So our topic today, when did rapping become acceptable over emceeing? Now, we actually had this topic last week, but we couldn't do it. Obviously, we had an emergency, so therefore we weren't on the air. So I apologize to anyone who was tuning in and expected that show instead of the rerun that we actually played last week. But this week, we are going to address it. So let's talk about the difference, first off, between emceeing and the rapper. Because I think people really need to understand that, especially people who are not actually doing that for a hobby or for a living. They may not understand the concept. So more than likely, everyone's going to have their own opinion. I read something that was very interesting on the blog prior to the show, something I happen to agree with. It said, an MC is one who makes rap music as a hobby and as a job, and usually is talented. They mainly lean more towards the roots and fundamentals of hip-hop, like the four pillars. They do not try to put on a pop or mainstream image. I don't know if I agree with that last part totally, but then it went on to say a rapper is someone that makes rap music for money as a job or occupation. Now, to MC, and I want to add something. The rap art, or rap is an art, rather, and because it's an art, you know, obviously it can be looked at subjectively. But in being subjective, we, and when I say we, I mean those like myself who grew up during the of rap, and we oversaw the development of lyricism, emceeing, all of those different things. To us, a lot of times when we talk about the art of rap and how the art is gone, we talk about, you know, the main things that they used to do, and some people do now, which is the metaphors, the delivery, the battle, concepts, all of those things to a lot of us, and I'm not speaking for everyone, but just for the people that I know, those were the big things that we looked at as the art of the MC, where you have a lot of rappers today. So let me just head to my panel first. Wise, what would you say is the big difference between rap and MCing?
Rap is rhythm and poetry. Rap is the ability to be able to get your words and be rhythmatic on a beat. That's really all it is. It's just you got some words for a beat. Back in the day, that would be like the ha, or just little records that would catch your ear and it would be catchy, but they wouldn't have any substance to them. You know, like a party joint. You understand what I'm saying? But to me, an MC means a master of ceremony. Or better yet, you know, as my illegitimate father taught me through his rap, Rakim, is you move the crowd. To be an MC, you have to be, people just think, you know, all you need is a beat. An MC is the next instrumental or another instrumental on the beat. He's another track. And you can use your words in rhythmatic form to get control of people. Not only that, but you can tap into a subject, an ideal, a concept, a feeling, an emotion, a thought. And you can actually have someone in that thought at the same time as you, and you share that moment. You capture the people with their hearts and their souls using your words and your love. And basically, what MC is telling the stories about dead homies, the ones who can't speak for themselves anymore.
Now, you remember the breakdown that I gave in the beginning as far as basically what rap is versus, and this was someone else's, and they were on a blog discussing that, versus emceeing and things like that. Now, IQ, you came up during the age where you watched, and maybe you didn't follow rap as closely as we did, but definitely the changing tide of things that have happened from back in the day to things that are being spit right now. Now, the one thing that I always get into discussions with people with is now people say, well, rap is more raunchy now than it was before, which I totally disagree with. And this has always been an argument, because rap in the 90s, and when you look at what happened with the West Coast and the influence it had on the rest of the country and the type of rap that was coming out of the East Coast, when you look at the early 90s into the, you know, when rap was really blowing up real big, you can see how things started to change. So my question for you would be, as far as the delivery, as far as the type of music that was out back in the 90s compared to now, what would you say would be the difference?
For me, it's a really big difference. Like, when you say 90s, I'm going a little further back. KRS-One, Eric B. and Rakim, K-Solo, those are voices that resonate in my head, because even though I wasn't a fan of the genre per se, I was very respectful of the art of the craft that they perfect. But from then till now, it's really difficult for me sometimes to wrap my mind around what I'm hearing on the radio, or on whether it be from the car or on the satellite. A lot of times, like Wise said a little while ago, I'm hearing a lot of rhymes, or I'm hearing things poetically that are in line or in tune with one another. But some of it really isn't, I guess you could say, nourishing to me on the inside in terms of what's musically beautiful in my ears. Back then, most of what I was paying attention to, even if it was stuff that was raunchy or things that I wasn't necessarily told to be hearing, you know, a lot of it was put in such a way that, you know, you had no choice but to actually listen to it, even if it wasn't the beat or the instrumental. Like Wild said, the way the brothers or sisters would flow, you could swear that their voice was another part of the instrumental. But now it seems like these jokers don't really take as much pride in being able to be a part of the track musically. They just want to be heard or seen, I guess you could say.
Wise, let me ask you this. Now, here's the funny thing. With me, I'm still in kind of in the producer circles, you know, around producers, not physically around, but I'm in touch with a lot of producers, and we work on different things and this and that. I always get into an issue because a lot of the producers that I'm around are my age. So we are the older producers who always look back, and when they listen to tracks on the radio and things like that, they say, well, that's not really music, or that's not really good. And every time I hear that, I sometimes have to explain to them that, remember, when your parents had music, when we came out with New Jack Swing and all of that stuff, they would listen to that and say, well, that's not music, you know, and this and that. Now we listen to sometimes contemporary R&B, and then we'll listen to adult R&B and say, well, adult R&B is music. What you guys do is not music. So as far as us being in the age bracket, is there, if you listen to rap today that's on a radio, I mean, you know, anything that's above ground, in general, when you listen to it, are we not looking at the things that we should be looking at as far as style and delivery and music in order to say, hey, you know what, that is actually art? Or are they actually missing the mark?
Well, first of all, I think the thing we need to address is the era. There were different eras in hip-hop, and people associate with certain eras because they feel like the rapper at that time, the DJ or the producer, was telling their story. If people are over the age of 30, then you need to realize that you grew up in the golden age of rap, and your era has passed. There was a new age. And just like how people grew up on the Temptations and Marvin Gaye, I grew up on Albie Shaw and Jodeci. And then came Rakim and N.W.A., with others who made it grew up on Kool Herc, Planet Rock, African Bumbada, and Love Bud Starsky and Kool Moe Dee. I grew up on Eric B. Rakim, you know, My Philosophy, BDP, Raz Kaz, Fat Lip, different people like that, or Kool G Rap, or these people who I felt like were telling my story because they were at the time in that era. They caught the emotions and ideas of that era, and people related to it. As these new guys have a chance, they have to tell something different because the times are no longer the same. And I think we're becoming like our parents. When we used to come to our parents, we'd be like, Ma, there's this new record out. Can I get 10 hours to go get this record? Because remember, we used to actually have to go to the store. And they'd be like, oh, that's they'd be like, this track, you getting that? But, we you know, it was our time. Now we're the parents with the money in our pocket, and they come to us, hey, Ma, can you give me an iTunes card? Or can I use your phone to download this record? And you're like, well, you know, listen, Future's trash. The Young Thug is trash, but they relate to it for some reason because it's their era. And one thing I want people to understand is hip-hop is and will always be an art. And these people who are getting out their dreams or telling their stories, it is something that everyone thinks they can do, but it is very, very difficult to actually achieve. And I'm speaking from experience to do it right. And though I don't like most of their music, once in a while I still hear certain things and I'll be like, you know, I can see a little bit of artistry in there. He was trying to use this to get to there. And I identify with that artistry, but I can't identify with what they're saying because I'm from a different era.
You know, and I'm wondering is, see, I think that in my line of business as a producer, it does me a disservice to not understand at least why that song is a hit song. For a long time, I used to grapple, and you guys heard me on the show, I used to grapple back and forth about Nicki Minaj, only because the old Nicki Minaj, and I'm saying prior to records, that stuff she had on mixtapes, this and that, she rapped totally different. She went Hollywood, and, you know, she's different, and obviously she's going to be, because that's what it is. I can never get past, to me, the cartoonish-type voice sometimes that she does. And that's just me, all right? Now, sometimes I hear a song with her rocking on it, and I'll be like, okay, you know, she's doing her thing. I can hear the flow. I hear the delivery. But I have to catch myself so that I'm not judging her according to the standards you just said was. I have to judge her according to what's out today. And even though I would say, all right, I might like another female rapper better, I'm wondering if I'm liking another female rapper better because her style is more in line with what I'm used to as opposed to what Nicki Minaj is doing. But if that's the case, skill-wise, how do you judge someone? If another rapper came up and she just wrecked Nicki Minaj, if I felt her flow was better, am I going to say she's the better rapper? Like, would my judgment be off? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, it would be to a certain extent because a person in hip hop's term, not in the music business term, there's two different. I'm going to try to drop some jewels and make it quick. Is that when you're dealing with the music business, then you're dealing with image, sales, likeness, what you can sell to people. And people usually buy the alpha male or the alpha female. Translation, the man that every woman wants and the man that every man wants to be. Now, when you're dealing with hip-hop or just the people who are rapping, you're dealing with skills, talent, how this person did their delivery, their tone, how they switched up and changed. So a person can get, like, take Joe Buttons. He just lost a battle to a basically unknown rapper to the mainstream because he might have had a bad day. But Joe Buttons has a body of work. Joe Buttons has albums. Joe Buttons has videos. And in our era, how we judge people was, you know, how dope was your album? How many albums do you have that's dope? How dope was your mixtapes? How dope was your freestyles? It was your body of work. But these days in the internet age, if we get a minute video of Nicki Minaj getting smashed and trashed by some unknown or somebody like Jean Grey, then they'll be looking at Jean Grey like she's the next Christ because she just destroyed Nicki Minaj because they're only judging that moment. In our time era, you had to have a body of work that spanned years in order to get that accolade.
And but then on the other hand, if Nicki Minaj has the means to keep putting out records, hit records, then it's not even going to matter what happened with Jean Grey. And I bring that up. I'm thinking about who was it? LL battled. What was his name?
Cannabis.
Was Cannabis, and that was the situation. I love LL, but Cannabis, I mean, dug in him, and LL got some, you know, a couple things on, but Cannabis dug in him. And when you look at that whole thing, LL had the ability and the financial resources and the connections to keep putting out stuff. So eventually you had people saying, well, you know, LL won that. It wasn't that LL won, just LL had the means to put more things out where Cannabis had one response.
But no, not only that, but you know what I'm saying? Let's hit quick jewel. All right, LL won that battle because he won it with longevity. LL, before that came out,
right.
LL was from old school to then. He reinvented himself, and now he's still reinventing himself, and he's still doing music. So in terms of it, where's Cannabis at? If we're going to judge by the old school terms. And then when you look at somebody like LL versus a Cannabis who grew up from the mixtapes and the streets and freestyling, LL sells, when he comes out, LL always go platinum at the minimum. And then he'll do like 6 or 7 with certain albums. Now, just a little jewel from the music industry, not hip-hop, but when you think it's over 2 million, that's when white people start buying it and everyone starts buying it. When it's like a person goes 1.5 million, that's because you're hot on the streets. LL was always had the ability to be hot on the street, but then everyone from every other culture loved him. And that's where you see those sales, and that's why he's on NCSI or whatever show he's on, because he still resonated with that audience, and they love his body of work. Cannabis was definitely the better MC, but where's his body of work?
Dwight, I have a question. I'm sorry. Going back to Nicki Minaj, her style prior to becoming commercialized, if you were to compare that style to the female rappers that you're used to, what would your opinion of her be then?
That she wouldn't be good. Oh, I'm sorry, her previous style. She was okay. She was okay. You know, she wasn't, like, right now, there was a point where when she would come on the radio, I'd be like, why is this song a hit? You know, and I could spot a hit. There's been very few songs that I listen to, and I can say, you know, oh, that song is not going to be a hit, and it turns around and it is a hit. It's very few songs. That one song, I forgot the name of the song, but either way, the Royal song, that was one song. I just didn't think it was going to be a hit. Evidently, it was, you know. So with Nicki Minaj, with her songs, I'm listening to some of the earlier songs. This is the ones when she first signed to Young Money and this and that. And I'm listening to some of it, and I'm like, okay, why is this a hit? But then it might have a good hook. It might have this and that. I'm rolling my eyes at certain things that she's saying, and I'm looking at other people, and they're not rolling their eyes. I guess it's kind of like Empire. There's certain things that happen. I'm rolling my eyes. Everybody else love it. You know, so I'm just sitting there just trying to look and see what's going on. But that's why I had to ask Wise, the judgment factor, how I'm judging her. If I'm going to be in that business doing certain things, then there are certain things that I need to figure out, okay, why is that song a hit? But see, now I'm starting to notice that she's actually stepping up, you know, to a certain extent, her lyrics and this and that. I mean, lyrics are still kind of, but at least her style, I can see that being the art. And that's what I want to discuss. That's the reason why I wanted to come to this point. When we discuss art of rap, as an MC, isn't sometimes it's more than just lyrics? Isn't it like delivery? If you listen to Redman and Meth, the Rock Wilder song, and they're really not saying much of anything, but the beat is hot, and their delivery is just off the chain. The chain, that song is too short anyway, but because their style is so hot, it made the song a hit. So that's what I'm saying. Should we be judging? When we look at art, and it's to both of y'all, when we look at art, should we look at art not just by lyrics? When we look at an MC, should we not just look at lyrics, but should we look at everything as far as style, as far as delivery? Doesn't that factor in the longevity is with lyrics? But at least in the short term, shouldn't we look at all of that?
We should look at all that, but the problem is that we grew up, when you start talking about weed and you're talking about, you know, the baby boomers or the X generation, us. Rock, you produced some of my records. I was in some of the films you made. IQ, you was in high school with us when we was in EOE, and me and Wiz was rocking, doing rap and hip-hop, rock. You know what I'm saying? You just told me you got finished playing one of my old albums in the gym today. You, a person had to have a style, an overall style. You had to have delivery. You had to have persona. And the other thing is it had to be genuine. So we're kind of spoiled in the aspect of back in the day when rappers were rapping, they were really doing what they said they were doing, whether it was Q-Tip or Kool G Rap. They were about that. Now we got people like Nicki Minaj where it's entertainment, but at the same time, it's artistic. And what we miss as the X generations is that she's there, Lauryn Hill. She can act, she can sing, and she can rap. She might not do it on the same level as Lauryn Hill, but Lauryn Hill ain't here no more. So Nicki Minaj is the pinnacle. And we always have to understand that in hip-hop, what I was taught by individuals like Rock and some of my other producers who always encouraged me to go hard is that to be the best, you have to beat the best. Nicki Minaj, who is better out there in the music industry right now than Nicki Minaj on her level? That's why she's the best. Not because she's doing something so terrifically awesome. She is artistic, but if Lauryn Hill was to come out and it was the same age as Nicki Minaj and dropped the record with her singing and rapping, do you think Nicki Minaj would be able to get shine next to Lauryn Hill?
Absolutely not.
To be the best, you've got to beat the best.
But then what does that say, though? Because, all right, if we're going to go there, then here's the other side to that. So if that's the case right now, I don't know if you guys, we need to have a show about this, but the music business is changing. Record companies are not making the same amount of money as they were before because now people can put their own stuff out online. So they're offering 30, 40, 50% going in partnerships with record companies now. And it's, you're going to see it get more. And you just, if you guys heard the announcement with Jay-Z setting up the streaming service now, where people can actually put their stuff on there. They don't have to put it on Spotify or anything else now. Artists can just put it on there. So, you know, he's making a lot of money. But you have all of these other mediums now. So the music business is not the same. And when you have all of these different things, what I'm saying is right now, Nicki Minaj is big because she has a record company that's backing her.
Yes,
she's doing some acting and she's doing, you know, some of the, you know, talk shows and this and that. And she's blowing up. So my thing is, why is there not some other credible MC, female MC specifically, that's coming out and if not challenging her, and what I mean challenging not as far as the battle, but as far as record sales, as far as coming out and blowing up, it doesn't even seem like they got someone who they're trying to push out in that. Now, they got other male artists that's coming out. You see Ludacris just came out with an album and a couple of other people. So you see that's happening in the male field, but they're not challenging Nicki Minaj because she's a female MC and she's in a good lane. There's no one else in her lane. So am I looking at this wrong? Is there any? Where is the Jean Grays? Where is all these other people, these other female rappers who were great or newer rappers even that's in the street? They had a girl from Detroit who's hot to death. But you don't see them. You see Nicki Minaj. Why?
Yeah, but you're talking about Deja Loaf, and she's dope. No, hands down, I like her. And I even like the Ignorant Rap song she puts out. But there's also females like the one that Timbaland got by the name of Tank, who is disgusting. There's also this Puerto Rican chick, excuse me, Mexican, American chick from L.A. called Snow the Product. Disgusting. Like, what we're looking for is still out there, but it's not being put on the forefront because the finances are there, not there anymore. And first of all, it's a terrible time to be a rapper because anybody that ever signs a 360 deal, you a sucker, number one. And number
two. Tell me that, because I saw an interview with, we'll talk about that off the air, because I saw an interview with Ludacris, and he was saying he's glad he didn't sign that type of deal. So I need someone to explain that to me. We'll talk about that, but.
That's like having everybody hands in your pocket, and at the end you just got the crumbs. We'll talk about that later. But then when you talk about lyricism, Tank is dope. You talk about lyricism, Snow the Product is dope. There's a whole bunch of other people who are, the artistry level is higher than Nicki Minaj's, but she is backed by a machine. But I want to also tell people, like, you know, so as a rapper and an MC, because I had to dumb down my style just to even exist in this market at a time. That's why I kind of decided to quit, because the taste changed. People don't want burgers no more. Now they started wanting crab meat, and I just don't make crab meat. I make the shit for the streets. So when I I made this stuff for the streets. So when the streets didn't want that anymore, I knew it was time for me to sit down and do something different. I bowed away. But then I hear people today, like J. Cole, who don't have a really big following on the mainstream, but J. Cole will always come out and sell albums. Why later? Album about nothing. People don't really – he has some exposure because he's with Rick Ross, but people mess with Wale because he's Wale. And then Kendrick drops an album that redefines what we always been thinking about. Well, he took it back in the day. He's talking about lyricism and art. But it has to be what the people are looking for. And there is a law of energy. If you're looking for stuff like Nicki Minaj and Future, then you'll find those little G420 boys and these guys. But if you're looking for something that has substance like Lauryn Hill, then you'll stumble on the Tank. You'll stumble on a Snow the Product. You'll be listening to Common, Kendrick Lamar, and J. Cole. It has to be what you're looking for. But the problem now is those people from our generation didn't have the mediums of the internet to put their music out like it's flooded now. All they had was the Source, XXL, and a few radio shows. Now you got YouTube. It's totally different now. If you want it, you have to look for it. Hip hop is not dead, but it's smothering right now, but it's not dead.
It really is. All right, and we're going to have to end it there. Thank you for joining us tonight on Cyber Media Radio. You can hit us up on Facebook at Cyber Media Radio, that's SIRA Media Radio, and on Twitter at Cyber Media Group. For questions and comments, you can email us at smr@cybermedia.com. I want to thank Sean Defense and Sean Ennis. Thank you, and we'll see you next week, Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Remember, Psalms 37:24. Peace out, y'all.